Welcome to Bevington Banter, the show where we can sound like we're arguing even when we all agree. I'm Cassidy, and together with my brother Cade and dad Randy, each week we discuss a selection of news stories, topics surrounding the culture, and matters of freedom and faith. Thanks for listening. Follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Share it, and if you like what you hear, rate it 5 stars on Apple and Spotify.
So you can hear Cassidy there in the intro every week, but Cassidy's not always here, and that is how it is today. And that might be bad, since everything is a little bit crazier than usual, and so the structure, when she's not here, just goes right out the window. And on top of that, we got all the everything going on with Israel, which at the time you're listening to this is a week old news already, because everything happens the day after we record. That's the law. And if something really crazy is going to happen, it's the day after we record. Which, by the way, according to one of the founding members of Hamas, tomorrow, from the time we're recording this, Thursday, tomorrow is the global day of jihad. So I hope that this isn't
predictive.
I hope it's not trend. It doesn't trend that we always record and then something horrible happens the next day. But that is what happened last week, and Hamas attacked Israel, went into Israel. We don't need to talk about the basics of it so much, because I assume unless you are Patrick Starr and literally live under a rock that you have seen what's going on over there. I think 1,300 I've seen so far, Jewish people dead, 24 Americans dead over there, 170-ish. They know are kidnapped. I mean, confirmed kidnapped, about 170-ish is all I've heard. That was the most recent number. It's lower than they thought, but still not good.
170 total people or 170 Americans?
No, 170 total people.
Okay.
So anyway, definitely not good. The response from Israel is understandably intense. I mean, it needs to be. I don't know what else you would do. This has to end. One of these times is going to be the last time that it happens. You can only push them so far. On top of that, though, I'm sure we're going to get into talking about how could that even have happened? How could that have happened to a country like Israel with one of the best intelligence agencies in the world and major, major, probably one of the most secure borders on the planet? How could this have happened?
Yeah, and that is really, for me, kind of the starting place. That was the immediate thing that came to mind. I mean, there's the gravity of how horrible it is, but almost instantaneously, it's like, this is Israel. This doesn't happen. It's almost like it can't happen. There's something so wrong about this event, and there's no way I'm going to pretend to know what's really going on. All I know is that whatever you're hearing in the media, whatever that's being put out by our administration, whatever, you know, Hamas is saying, whatever Israel is saying, it's not the whole complete story. It just isn't. And I'm as positive about that as I was when I told you I was positive that the U.S., you know, blew up Nord Stream 2 pipeline. And that is absolutely proven out to be true. So it's super complex. Just very quickly, if in case you know you're not aware, Hamas is a Palestinian terror group. Palestine is debatable whether it's even a real thing. But you can go. I posted a video of a Arab Muslim explaining to people how Israel is historic and Palestine is not. So you could go to my Facebook
page
and see
that. Was that the video that was the response to the Mia Khalifa?
Yes.
It's that, yes. Lebanese porn,
yeah,
star.
Yeah. So
shouldn't she be Hezbollah supporter? Do Hezbollah and Hamas, they like each other. They're brothers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So anyways, Hamas is they have been given what's known as the Gaza Strip, the Palestinians in basically what we would consider Israel, which borders the Mediterranean Sea. And in 2006, they turned that over to the Palestinians and said, this is your land. You can do with it, you know, govern yourself. You can live here. Israel provides all the electricity and the water to it. but this is your land. Do with it what you will.
And then hours after that, Hamas started launching rockets into Israel.
Yeah. And
immediately.
Because the Palestinian people
turned around and elected Hamas as the government.
Right. Correct. So the thing about it is they could develop their country economically. They have a, you know, this marvelous Mediterranean coastline, but they don't.
And they're not locked in. Their only options aren't the Med and Israel. They border Egypt as well.
Correct.
Egypt doesn't want anything to do with them.
Right.
Egypt has almost equally as secure of a wall.
Yeah, I actually was just looking at that. They have this wall that runs the length, and their border with
small.
It's small, but it's, you know, like 20 feet high, and it goes like 60 feet underground, so they can't tunnel under it. There's only one checkpoint that anybody can pass through. It now has all kinds of sensors and detectors on it because you think, well, it's just Israel, but it's not. Yeah, Egypt wants nothing to do with them. Jordan wants nothing to do with the Palestinians in Gaza because they are nothing but the most evil terrorists that you can think of. So
I got a lot of my information about how Israel secures their border today from something that you sent me, Brett Weinstein. Is it Brett Weinstein?
Well, it's...
No, Brett Weinstein is that female reporter, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who... Well, it's Weinstein, right?
Weinstein. I get if he's
the Dark Horse podcast.
Yes, W-E-I-N.
Oh, it is Brett.
S-T-E-I-N.
It is, yes. Brett Weinstein.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, he did his podcast with a woman named Efrat Fenningson, and anyway, she served with the IDF, and she's Israeli, and I think she lives there. And she talked about how even back, you know, decades ago, what it was like when she was serving, protecting the border. And even back then, she said if a cat walked too close to the fence, that they would be alerted. And this was in the night, like in the 90s.
This was 25 years ago,
she said. Would get a phone call about how there's, you know, to check it out. And then somebody would go out there and they would, like, kill the cat. Basically, what she made it sound like. Like, I don't know, like they were afraid that they packed a bomb in this cat or something. I don't know. They would kill it. And so now they have like touch sensors and all this different sophisticated technology along with their fit. So not only is it technologically advanced, but physically it is, a very strong barrier. And they just knocked it down in several places, like 15 breach points, she said.
Yeah, 15. And so her point was that 25 years ago, she stood duty on that fence one day a week. Other than that, she was an intelligence officer, and she said, yes, all it took was one cat wandering into the fence, and immediately you're getting this full response to go out there, check it out, and to deal with it. You knew if something like that, one cat, how, and she says that this stinks to high heaven, which is, again, what my immediate point was. How did this happen? This is not possible. They breached the fence at 20 or at 15 different locations, and it was hours before there was a response. And she said, now we have all the technology, the, you know, touch sensors and everything else, but it's not just that. She goes, we have drones, we have helicopters, we have everything. She described something like a robot that would,
it shot them.
Yes.
It, like, detected movement, it would shoot. It's like Sea Whiz.
Yes.
On a naval craft, except it shoots people.
So if you go into this border fence, this thing just detects you
and shoots you. Yeah.
So she said it just stinks to high heaven.
Well, what about them reducing their force near Gaza by 60-80%?
Yeah.
They cut the force there and they sent them north up toward Jerusalem
to deal with some issue.
Yeah. And on top of that, the other reason to have heavier security of all the times to not have, you know, very good security there. It's the 50th anniversary of the Yom Kippur War.
Right. So you would want, that's like us being extra sensitive
on 9/11,
on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Exactly. They would have been. So even if you had, say, sent 50% of your force that was normally there at Gaza up to, you know, deal with this other issue, you would have had that 50% on alert.
And they weren't fully activated to make up for the lack of, you know, the lack of troops that were there.
Right.
They
I thought it was really interesting that she said, she talked, this caught me off guard. I hadn't heard this, but she heard an interview from a prisoner. Now, how much you can trust this prisoner? This is a Hamas terrorist that was taken prisoner by the Israeli Defense Force, and he's being interviewed. And he said that they were surprised how the prisoner said they were surprised how easily they were able to do this, that it went way easier than they thought. Not only that, that they'd been training for a year, that it wasn't detected and known, and that they got into the country with so little resistance and was able to, you know, operate basically for hours without, you know, a military response. So she was kind of theorizing, is it possible that they weren't, their initial intent, the plan was not to be as brutal as it was, but when they got in and like, boom, right there is this music festival, which they hadn't really planned on, because I heard that that was like the location that was changed at the last minute out to where they were at.
You mean the beginning of the attack or yes, the rave itself?
At the beginning of the attack, they like, oh my gosh, there's this music festival going on. And so
yeah,
it got
I heard, though, aggressive. That it was like pro-Palestinian.
I heard something about that,
like
too.
Like the party
would have been in support of the, yeah, yes, of Palestine.
And they killed them.
Yeah.
Of course, like they 260 of them.
Yeah. But the guy's point was, and what she was surmising was, that it went much more extreme than what they originally had planned, because they had such ease in getting in, so little response, and there's just a target-rich environment.
And they're monsters.
Yeah.
They can't help themselves.
Right. So the your typical terrorist going along, he just goes full monster. So that, because in her, the reason she's discussing this is like, if there is some kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, conspiracy, plan, cooperation, because somebody within Israel wants to use this as for some political reason, but you can't imagine that they want them to go around and kill and slaughter people to this degree. So how do you explain that? If it really is some kind of conspiracy to do this, but they wouldn't go that far. They would just simply breach the, you know, they wouldn't be killing grandmas, burning people alive, gunning down, you know, people at the, you know, old ladies at the bus stop, beheading babies. I mean, would the terrorists do that? Yes. But if you were an Israeli who was a part of this plan to simply create some kind of political issue, you wouldn't want to see that happen. That wouldn't be a part of your plan. But the thing was, is that there was so little resistance, no response, and a target-rich environment, the terrorists just went full terrorist.
You speak like there aren't instances of the government perfectly okay with sacrificing their citizens in order to gain something politically. Oklahoma City, I've seen a lot of evidence of that not being done by a single person and possibly being the government. I will never look at 9/11 the same way after the way, well, I mean, honestly, COVID was handled and all the corruption that was exposed when Trump was in office. I'm not 100% sure that we weren't at least aware that 9/11 was going to occur. Did we facilitate it? No, but I mean, maybe not, but you know, did we know about it? Again, how could we not?
Yeah, this whole event, and this is kind of jumping ahead for me, but you're going there, so I'll go there. That this whole event and what I'm learning from it is that I've always understood that the government would do some shady things, you know, for their own sake and their own empowerment. And then we learned, especially through things like COVID and stuff like that, that they are, you know, they'll do quite a lot to empower themselves. And now with the suppression of, you know, attacking parents at school board meetings because they want to protect their kids, you know, spying on the Catholic Church, you know, calling people white nationalists and terrorists and all this kind of stuff. And so I always knew, as bad as that is, they're really willing to do a lot of bad things. And I'm sure that it's even, because my brain knows about this and understands it, I know it's worse. I know it's next level worse. But now I'm realizing, no, it's multiple next levels of worse. I mean, we're talking about people who are willing to, like, when you talk about the crazy mad guy who wants to rule the world and they'll do anything to do it, that we're at that level and there's cooperation. Now there's a lot of useful idiots in the government around the world and in academia and in the media and all that, but there are behind the useful idiots, there are some evil people that are not, they have no problem whatsoever of destroying the lives of just everyday citizens who just want to get up and take care of their families and go to work and earn a living. And it means absolutely nothing to them to destroy thousands and thousands of those people's lives for their own benefit. And that's hard for us to get our minds around. I mean, I know.
Well, I mean,
when I talk about this, I know I sound like a nut. I know it, but give me some other explanation.
The term cognitive dissonance exists for a reason. It is so crazy that you cannot bring yourself to believe it. That is the effect that kicks in.
That's what they want, and they know that. They know that. They know that if we do this absolutely off the charts, insane, evil thing, people won't be able to bring themselves to believe it.
They'll convince themselves that that's crazy.
Right.
That, you know.
You mentioned 9/11, and I'm not saying that you know, we had a part in that, but I do know now that it's possible. I mean, I'm not saying that I think we did it or that we planned it or we participated, but I'm saying that we are capable of it from seeing the other things that I've seen done. We are capable.
Yeah. Anyway, do you want to?
Well, this is something that she said that really struck me, that this former Intelligence Defense Force woman that Brett Weinstein was interviewing, and you can look it up on the, I will say this. Just to put it out there, Brett Weinstein, I've listened to him a fair amount, and he is a liberal, but he strikes me, I can't, you know, validate this, he strikes me as one of the most measured and thoughtful people that you're going to listen to. He's not a reactionary. He's not a loose cannon. He's not, that's not who he is at all, but he's very principled. Now, his beliefs and mine certainly don't always line up, but he has great, I believe, integrity, and he's principled. I mean, he lost his job. He was a professor at this Evergreen University in Washington, and he lost his job. He got canceled and fired over an issue. There's a day on the campus where they would have, like, no white people were allowed to come to campus. It was this day of racial something or other. And he's like, oh, yeah, but all the students love me. We, you know, this kind of this little ha-ha thing that goes. No, he went to work and they lost their minds, and he ended up getting fired over it, and he wouldn't back down. I mean, he said he was in fear of physical harm, that this is wrong, and I'm not backing down. So he's a very principled guy, even for a leftist. He's very thoughtful. He's very reasoned. He's very, you know, so this isn't just some reactionary, but so this is the guy that does this Dark Horse podcast. And in talking to this former IDF officer or soldier, I don't know if she was an officer, I would imagine she was, she talked about what really sends up a red flag for her is they're now immediately, they begin to strike buildings inside of Gaza. So the Israeli Air Force began almost immediately to strike buildings, bombing and things inside of Gaza, saying, we know that this is where they house, you know, intelligence headquarters. This is where they do planning. This is where they keep weapons. We know this. She said, how do they have that level of intelligence in civilian buildings immediately, and they didn't have any intelligence of what was about to happen and the planning and preparation for it?
I actually thought that was Weinstein that pointed that out.
I thought it was
I remember him saying exactly that. How do they know nothing about that attack, and then immediately they know the location of all these different places to hit.
Right. And that's the kind of stuff where your cognitive dissonance has to start taking a back seat to what evidence is showing you.
I think the biggest thing that she said to me that made me think, you know, what's going on here is everyone, she said she was basically being shut down immediately asking any questions.
Right. Oh yeah, nobody. It's out there all over the place. People are
Israel.
Going. It's not the right time. I've heard.
They're like, we're fighting now. John, we'll talk about
I've heard
it
John
later.
John Kirby say that for here from the U.S. This isn't the time to ask about what the intelligence failure is. Yeah, this is exactly the time, because if you don't, it may happen again next week.
Yeah.
Or next month. So Don't believe anything. Don't believe anything that you hear these people say, period. I mean,
I think I would be a lot more caught up in what either side were saying if Ukraine hadn't been such, I mean, everything coming out of Ukraine is propaganda. We talked about it, yeah, you know, a long
Ukraine
time ago.
Ukraine is a complete crap show.
When, for the first month, maybe, people were starting to believe, or people were really buying into, like, what was going on, and Ukraine is, you know, Ukraine is pushing back hard, and they're winning this fight. They never were winning, ever. They still aren't. I don't know if any of you, if this is shocking news to anybody listening to this, Ukraine is getting destroyed.
Yeah, they have over 500,000 dead.
Yeah, it's not a close fight. They're not holding their own. They are just slowly being conquered. I'm a little bit impressed with how long it's taking Russia. I only think because Russia isn't trying to take over Ukraine. I think they really do just want those regions right now of native, you know, ethnic Russian.
Okay, I'll go one more step conspiratorial than that. I think they want to prolong the fight and drain the U.S. of as much money and military munitions as they can.
So it's their Star Wars.
I guess.
Because we basically use the space race and... To bankrupt them. So I guess Star Wars was Reagan. So no, this is the space race. We used it and kept pushing them to bankrupt them, and it worked. So you think that that's what this is?
I think that it's severely hurting us economically, obviously. It's empowering. The weaker we are financially, the stronger BRICS, which they are a part of, becomes. That's obviously a very, very coordinated effort. And at the same time, they're draining us of our munitions. Right now, they're saying that some of these weapons that we have, it would take us 7 years to build back what we've spent, what we've sent there and has been used up. So if we were to end up in a conflict, what would we do?
Which is why we cannot really get, I don't think we can get involved with the Israel thing, especially if nobody else gets involved.
No, and here's another part of that. We had sent a lot of munitions to Israel, and then we encouraged them to send those munitions also to Ukraine. So Israel sent a ton of 155-millimeter artillery shells that we had sent to them. They sent them on to Ukraine.
Does Israel have Abrams?
I'm assuming they're shooting them out of howitzers. I don't know.
Well, isn't that what's on?
Yeah, but you don't have to have the tank. You can shoot without the tank. I don't know. It's so much deeper, and there's so much more going on. You talk about Ukraine and what's, you know, how all this ties together. The BRICS. Which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, that they are joining together to bring about basically a new world, currency. They are binding together to be an economic power. We're being drained. I don't know what to give you as advice.
The thing is, though,
the
thing about BRICS is that they're not really joining up to be one single solitary, you know, economic power. They're going to be individually economic powers. Their primary goal is killing us.
Destruction of the West.
Is because that's why they're creating, avenues with which to trade with each other using their own currency to do this. They're not creating like a currency called BRICS.
Right.
They're basically taking, I will say this, they probably are doing what is best for their countries.
Yes.
And I can't hardly fault them for that.
Yes.
The only problem is this wouldn't be a problem for us if we did what we should be doing here.
If we were the economic power that we could easily be.
Self-sufficient.
None of this would be an issue.
Self-sufficient.
Right.
Drilling, our own materials, our own manufacturing.
Right.
This would not even be an issue.
No. We could be the strongest we could be the strongest nation on earth based just simply on economics 10 times over if we would just basically take care of our own, just sound business at home. Sound economy. So, but they are working to get off the U.S. dollar as the world reserve, where everybody has to do business and trade in U.S. dollars, and also, you know, the petrodollar. Everybody, you know, they're starting to do it in their own currencies now. It's in listening to this and going back to what they were discussing on Glenn Beck with Alexander Dugin. Their primary goal is to break down. They want to break down the Western system as it is. It's not just, they don't want to, they're not looking to take it over or change. They want to break, completely destroy it so then they can rebuild it. And that's what we're in the middle of. We are in the middle of, and whether it's through intent or stupidity or pride or what, that is what our current administration is participating in, the destruction of Western culture. And Europe is doing it. A lot of Europe is doing it as well. And it made me immediately think back to something as simple as boot camp, of which I've been through two different times in two different branches. We hear it all the time. You go there, they break you down so they can then build you back up the way they want to. That's the way people work. And that's what's happening on, you know, national and international and economic levels. That's, they are wanting to destroy and break down the Western culture and system, and then they can rebuild it.
So last we talked, McCarthy had been removed. There were talks, I don't know if at the time we recorded last, if Jim Jordan's name was in, or if that had been talked about yet. I think it had. Anyway, Steve Scalise is also the other, who basically is trading one for another.
He's just trading McCarthy for Scalise.
Apparently they don't like each other, but they're basically the same person. And maybe that's why they don't like each other. The one thing I did gather from this whole thing about, especially Scalise getting in, I do not trust Matt Gaetz' reason for the vote at this point, for actually removing McCarthy as speaker, because he's for Scalise. It wasn't some principled stand.
Yeah.
If it was, then he would be steadfast against Scalise.
Yeah, yeah.
But he tweeted Scalise a greater than symbol McCarthy.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, I don't necessarily agree with that. But is that what we're going for? And so somebody asked him, because he was for Scalise, they're like, "Well, you're not going to go for, you know, Jim Jordan, who you've literally described as your mentor before." And he said, "Well, he doesn't have the votes. He's not going to win, so we got to do Scalise." What are you talking? Then you should have just left McCarthy in, if that's your
right.
If that's how you feel about it.
He held up McCarthy's initial election. How long did it take McCarthy to get elected?
Because 15 days,
yeah,
or something?
Because Gaetz held it up. And yes. He didn't care about how many votes anybody had.
He can't do the same thing.
Right.
Then it was a principled stand. Right. And now with basically a copy of McCarthy, it's, well, Jim Jordan doesn't have the vote, yeah, so I'm just going to go with... No, he obviously has something out for McCarthy.
This goes back to what you were saying last week, is that do not pay any attention to what these people say, what they tweet, how great of speeches they make, how conservative they sound when they talk. Only look at what they do. And the minute that they don't follow through on the principles that you support, such as if you are a conservative, then be done with them. I don't care what their name is. I don't care how, you know, how pretty their hair is. I don't care about any of that. I care about what you do.
So anyway, this is relatively new. It'll be a couple days old when the time this podcast comes out, but Scalise didn't, they held this like closed door just for the GOP and did like a pre-vote to see who they were all going to get behind, and Scalise didn't have the votes. Neither did Jim Jordan, but neither of them did. Well, Scalise dropped out. We got that notification five minutes before we started recording this.
Right.
So does that mean that now they're going to get back together? Nobody else is even going to put in a bid, and they're just going to get behind Jim Jordan? Because if that's the case, then I don't care why Gaetz did it. I'm happy.
Yeah. But I heard Elise Stefanik's name was being bandied around some too. I don't know.
What if we just didn't do that and we just went with Jim Jordan?
Yeah, that'd be great. I got no problems with that. But you know, Steve Scalise is also he's battling cancer. And I heard Megyn Kelly interviewing Dr. Drew last night. And Dr. Drew, when she told him the kind of cancer he has, Dr. Drew's reaction was, "Oh." And Megyn Kelly's like, "That's the face I don't want to see when the doctor tells me the type of cancer." He said, "Well, it's not that it's not treatable, but there's a lot of debate of whether or not how treatable it is. He goes, it appears that you don't really defeat it or get rid of it and goes into remission. It's more of it will kind of like hibernate, percolate. It doesn't really ever, you don't really get rid of it. So he wasn't real optimistic on that. And like I heard Chip Roy saying, he goes, I've had cancer. He goes, and I've had chemo. He goes, I can't imagine, you know, going through chemo treatments and being Speaker of the House, which is the worst job in the world. So Chip Roy had the Republican caucus, you know, in their meetings saying, let's come to an agreement here so that when we go to the floor, we're all in agreement. We present a united front. And he said they wouldn't do that. He goes, you know, the old guard got up and they're like calling him Stacey Abrams and all this insane, you know, stuff. He said, it's just crazy. So, but that's what he was trying to accomplish. Maybe now they'll have no choice but to coalesce behind Jordan. I don't know. But I did want to address real quickly this whole talk about Donald Trump that was out there last week being speaker. That's so absurd.
It's a funny thought, but I wouldn't actually want it to be.
If Steve Scalise can't get the votes to become speaker, there's no way Donald Trump is getting the votes to become speaker.
No way.
So why did we even waste your time talking about it? Would it be funny? Set behind the president at the State of the Union?
Really funny.
Sure. I say this. If you want to see that, let the Republican Speaker of the House invite him to sit in his chair while the president gives a speech. But he ain't going to be the speaker. I don't know.
That'd be cool.
It would be. It'd be hilarious. But he's not going to be speaker. The whole thing about, like, back with Gates and why we don't know why they do any of the stuff they do. We really don't.
No.
So all you can do is look at what they actually do.
Yeah, what they do. And yeah, I just don't look at what they say anymore.
Yeah.
Ever.
Literally, we just need to wipe out all the seats are vacated and start over. Because it's and do it with term limits.
Through the law, of course, not like with...
Yeah, I don't mean with automatic weapons or anything. What is it? Ro Khanna? Did you hear what he was putting forward?
No.
Okay. So Ro Khanna is a liberal California representative. He actually was proposing, and I don't remember how this was done, that things that you term limits, PAC special interest money out of elections, all these kind of things. I mean, it was stunning. And it was like, if he'd really do that and get people to support it, I'll vote for it. I'll agree with that. It's worth it.
So would your plan be clearing out the Senate also?
Oh, yes.
Is it everybody?
Yeah, everybody. Everybody.
Yeah.
Top to bottom. Everybody's got to go. Yeah.
What about John Fetterman?
Oh.
Trying to make fun of the people who are in Congress. It's one of the most insane things I've ever seen in my life. Did you see it?
No.
You didn't hear it?
What?
John Fetterman on one of those late night shows?
No. How could he go on a show like that?
I don't know. I really need to find a way for you to hear this.
I actually heard him recently. He's gotten either there's somebody else, it's not really him, or he's gotten a lot better at the whole, you know, they've got a system now where he can, it's typed out for him and he can respond. And because he is doing better from what I've seen. Maybe he's planned and prepared. I'll tell you another one.
It's the other John Fetterman. That's what it is. Okay. It's because...
Well, John I wonder Fetterman, that about Joe Biden. When Joe Biden's initial response to what happened in Israel is like 3 minutes and 40 seconds long or something like that. That I don't know where that Joe Biden came from.
Oh.
He is either so whacked up on drugs or that's a body double.
Anyway.
There's no way the Joe Biden that we've been hearing lately did those 3 minutes and 40 seconds.
I think I got this. Listen to this.
Is it awkward to be in the Capitol and then run into people that you have put up a devastating meme about because you've got excellent meme game, but then you have to see these people in the cafeteria?
You all should need to know that America is not sending their best and brightest, you know, to Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, sometimes you literally just can't believe, like, you know, these people are making the decisions that are, you know, determining the government here. It's actually scary, too.
You hadn't heard that?
No.
How just unself-aware is that? They're pranking us. We're being punked. You're speechless. This is the first time you're hearing that.
It is.
I heard it earlier today.
I think he knows. I mean, he obviously knows that all that's said about him.
Yeah.
So he's just has enough, you know, hubris or whatever to just turn around and say it back in some.
He didn't do it well.
Ironic.
If he was trying to be like sarcastic and like say it like,
well, he can't.
Oh, he's tired of people saying it about him. He can't be sarcastic because he's
cognitively, impaired. But that's.
You mean he's not our best and brightest? Is that what you mean?
As a strategy, I actually don't think that's a bad strategy. I mean, I'm not saying he's the best and brightest, but that's if you want to go on the attack, that's not a bad strategy.
Is it the worst strategy? No. Is it a better strategy than burying him in a basement somewhere and bringing him out just to cast his vote? No, that's obviously the better choice. That's what they should be doing. They really need to just...
They need to get him
off of camera.
I'm just simply talking about him.
Okay, they need to get him off camera as much as they can. Instead, they put him on a late night show.
Okay, let me throw something out there. Okay, so now we're in the fun speculative part of the show. Is it possible that the Democrats don't hide him because when they put him out there, the right makes fun of him, okay, attacks him, and the left, it takes all the common everyday leftists go, oh, poor John, you're mean and you're evil, and it actually bolsters their position with their own people.
Listen.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, but I hope that's not the case.
Well, look, if we think that the whole Israeli Hamas thing was
okay,
how can you not think something like this as simple
is,
as this is?
This is essentially, though, the same as, like, you know, you've seen the sports videos where, like, a high school has a special needs kid that's the trainer.
Yeah.
And they let him suit up for a game when it's so far
and you
apart.
Get all the sympathy
and they hand,
the crowd.
And they hand him the ball, and he, like, runs the ball, and everybody lets him
Facebook.
Go into a touchdown, and everyone's cheering for him. It's like taking that kid and, like, starting him on, like, the Steelers offense. That's what we've done with John Fetterman. So I understand, like, the, oh, to feel sympathy for John Fetterman and everything. He's in the United States Senate.
I'm not saying
he's
he should be there.
He's one of 100 Americans in the Senate.
I'm not saying he should be there, but as long as he votes the way they want him to, and they use him to more solidify their position with their voter, that's a win-win. They probably wish they could have more John Fettermans. Chuck Schumer wishes he had more John Fettermans.
Well, that would be his second choice, because his first choice would obviously be to have more Chuck Schumers.
I thought you were going to say Barbara Feinstein.
Diane Feinstein.
I always get Barbara Boxer and Feinstein mixed up because they were both senators at the same time when I was in California.
Yeah, his first choice would be to have a bunch of copies of himself.
Yeah.
But after that, it's Fettermans that you can just say, hey, we're voting this. Here's your vote.
Yeah.
Here, you hand him a piece of paper that tells him how they're going to vote that later that day.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you?
I don't know.
We barely touched on this, but I'd like to get a little bit more thought on RFK Jr., has declared that he's going third party. And so the big debate is everybody, you know, who's he going to take more votes from? And I don't understand the people that are saying that he's going to take them from Trump, because certainly not from the MAGA base. But the only thing, in case you're not aware, if you listen to RFK Jr. on vaccines and the whole vaccine, he sounds conservative, but he is liberal on everything else. He is a classic liberal Democrat. So I don't believe that all Democrats are crazy extreme leftists like what we have currently running the show. So there are going to be plenty of those who go, you know, I just want to be a normal Democrat. I like RFK. So I just think that it's going to take votes from the from the Democrats.
I agree with that. I think it's more likely that RFK pulls enough votes from both sides to win before I would think that he would pull enough votes from Trump for Biden to win.
Yeah.
I think it's much more likely that he pulls enough that nobody gets to 270.
Yeah.
And not that he, you know, makes Biden win. That's my last what do I think is going to happen. Because the bottom line is that of the 50% that vote, you know, when you look at it, we're pretty much 50-50. Yes. when you look at the vote.
Right.
Of that 50%, 40% of them are die hard MAGA. They won't budge. It really is true that Trump could shoot somebody in the head walking down the street and they would still vote for him.
Yeah.
They probably would be like, well, I don't know what that guy did, but he probably deserved it. So that's ridiculous. Whereas Biden, there isn't 5%. Okay, never mind. There's not that many that are diehard Biden fans, but there are that many who are vote whoever
Trump.
It is.
They're going to vote against Trump.
They're going to vote Democrat, no matter what.
Yeah,
I would say that's maybe 25% though.
Yeah, I have a couple of guys though that it's shocking. I just saw this week. I see it from time to time. But a couple of guys I went to school with, they're just a year or so younger than me, and they're not bad guys and they're not unintelligent guys. But they think Trump is a clown and that the stuff that he, you know, they believe all the mainstream media memes about him, and they support what Biden is doing. And I only have one explanation for it. It's their news sources that they don't listen to anything or watch anything else.
My first question would be, what is Biden doing?
Well, other than
so that's fine. That's fair. You support what Biden is doing. Please list what he's done at all.
They support
other than mumble.
Okay, they listen to the mainstream media. And so the mainstream media says that he's created all these jobs, that the economy, you know, is doing well, it's expanding, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's what they hear on you would not reckon if you listen to conservative news and then go over to ABC or MSNBC or you wouldn't know that you lived in the same country.
I don't even see how it could have anything to do with your news source. Use your eyes. Look at the real world in front of you. Look away from the TV. Stare out into the world and see that things are not good.
If you just, other than going to the grocery store and the gas station right now in your little community, you wouldn't know. If you just lived your life, you wouldn't know that all this other insanity was going on in the world. And I'm telling you, if you don't believe me, try it. Go watch a couple of nights of, don't watch anything else. Go watch NBC News for a week.
Listen. One time, I listened along with my regular podcast to the Young Turks for a whole week. I know.
Okay.
It was miserable. So. I challenged myself to listen to the other side. It was awful.
Yeah. So, but the thing is like I listened to a Brett Weinstein who is a liberal. I listened to if he says something interesting, a Bill Maher who's
a
liberal.
Who's that comedian guy?
You mean the guy's being attacked?
No, the dude that does the phone calls.
Oh, I listened to Jimmy Dore.
Yeah, Jimmy Dore.
He's a liberal.
He's a lib. He's a socialist.
He's certainly for socialized medicine. I listened to the British dude that's being attacked.
That's being attacked?
Yeah, for sexual... You haven't heard?
Oh, yeah. Russell Brand.
Russell Brand. I listen to Russell Brand sometimes. I mean, he's a liberal. I listen to these guys. The thing is they're not... They're classic liberals. They're not trying to destroy the country. They're honest and sincere.
I'd put Joe Rogan in there too.
I listened to Joe Rogan, and he would call himself a liberal as well.
Yeah.
So they don't. They're never going to come over and listen. They would go apoplectic if they listen to Matt Walsh.
Oh, if they listen to like Dan Bongino lately. like the more recent Dan Bonginos.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, okay, let me close out with a couple of quick. Did you put this story on here about the best-selling author Jennifer Janes, who exposed vaccine industry deception, found shot dead, ruled a suicide?
No.
That's one. So, found shot dead. It's ruled a suicide. Apparently she has doubts about that. And I just shared that headline with you that there's a cop, a detective in Canada. I think it might've been in Ottawa, who is investigating infant deaths due to mRNA vaccine. And so Trudeau is prosecuting her for investigating these deaths. Yes. She's a member of the Ottawa police, detective Helen Gruss, G-R-U-S, Gruss. Which is insane. But the last one I want to end on, which I just don't understand, how Amazon is being accused of being a monopoly. They're being gone after as a monopoly. How can you be a monopoly when you're not selling your product primarily? You've got gazillions of individual merchants listing their products on your site. Now, I'm not a fan of Amazon. Don't get me wrong.
No, me neither.
But how can you be a monopoly when it's not your products that you're selling?
I thought of that immediately when I heard this too, because the biggest thing is they're just a retail.
Yeah, and
they're just a retail store. Even if they were selling their own stuff, that is just their version of somebody else's.
Right.
It's just you can buy that same thing somewhere else.
And I will tell you, they're not always the best price.
No, they're not.
They're selling convenience. That's the product that they're selling.
Yeah, I've had things that I've been able to buy from somewhere else that was cheaper, and when I paid shipping, it was still cheaper.
Right.
So it's insane to sue them as a monopoly.
Plus, Walmart is now virtually paralleling
their
services.
They want to do like Walmart online. You can buy almost everything and they still ship it. And you can sign up for like a club and do Walmart Plus and get free shipping.
And aren't they even doing streaming? Aren't they even going to do like...
I had heard them talk about that originally. Like the most recent thing I heard is that they might be partnering with Paramount Plus to be like their streaming arm. So basically, if you sign up for Walmart Plus, you get Paramount Plus. They're a direct competitor. They have almost a one-to-one competitor. They're just smoking Walmart because they've been doing it longer. But anybody that's a general retailer can't be sued for being a monopoly. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So
and I don't, and again, we can preface this. I don't like Amazon. We've even talked about recently how they're kind of evil. Like the amount of money that they have might actually be immoral, especially with what they do with it.
Yeah.
And the fact that they don't pay their employees and they don't give them breaks and they pee in bottles in their delivery trucks and you know, that kind of stuff. They're not good people,
right.
But they're not a monopoly.
If you want to hear more about that, go to Rumble or YouTube or our church website, occommunitychurch.com, and look up my sermon on money measures morality. I mean, the last thing we have to worry about is that our podcast is going to be kept out of Canada because the government there is controlling and going to regulate podcasts. If you say anything that they don't agree with you, then they're not going to air you.
Is that real?
Yeah, that's real.
Oh, we're banned.
The link is right here.
And
we haven't talked about it yet, but yeah, the link is right here.
Our
Canada's government moves to regulate podcasts.
Our logo is a mushroom cloud. We get banned from the image alone.